Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is where we want to be tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And our text will extend down to verse 15. So let's read these verses and then we'll kind of review what we've looked at so far in the book of Ecclesiastes and then look at some new things. It says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that man should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past." As we began this study of the book of Ecclesiastes, we said that it is very similar to a research paper. And that's because it has some of the same parts. It has a thesis, a body, and a conclusion. The thesis for the book is found in chapter 1 and verse 3, where it says, "What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" And I many times like to paraphrase that verse in this way: what is man's purpose for existence? That's the question that is asked. And that is the question that Solomon seeks to answer throughout this book. And he does it through the pursuit of many different things. And then when he gets to the end of the book, in chapter 12 and verse 13, he concludes, this is the duty of man: fear God and keep his commandments. That's what he concluded, after pursuing fulfillment and satisfaction and purpose in just about every area that a man can. And so far we've already looked at how Solomon sought purpose and fulfillment and satisfaction through the pursuit of wisdom. And again, I must say, the Bible does not universally condemn the pursuit of wisdom. The first 11 chapters of the book of Proverbs are all about obtaining wisdom. And specifically, it's talking about the wisdom that God seeks to impart to us from the Word of God. So wisdom and pursuing the wisdom of God is a very noble cause. But Solomon did conclude here in the book of Ecclesiastes that if we seek after wisdom solely for our purpose of existence, we're going to be disappointed. He concluded that it was vain, and it's vain because it has its limitations. No matter how much knowledge you accumulate, you will never be able to fix all of the world's ills. Also, wisdom does not exempt you from life's challenges. No matter how bright, how intelligent you might be, you are going to encounter many of the same things that someone who is foolish and ignorant will encounter. He said that wisdom is vain because it does not exempt you from death. nor from being forgotten, no matter how much you accomplish with the wisdom that you've acquired. And he also said that wisdom is vain because it causes you to see more and more ills that need to be corrected. Again, those thoughts are very similar to the person who says, the more I learn, the more I realize how little I really know. And so for these reasons, Solomon said that pursuing wisdom as our highest aim is vanity. He said to pursue pleasure as our highest aim is also vanity, because Solomon, and again we stated in our first message that Solomon was uniquely positioned to go after whatever he wanted. He was the wisest man to ever live other than the Lord Jesus Christ, so he had the ability to contemplate the different avenues by which someone might find satisfaction and purpose in life. He was the son of David, which meant that he was going to experience 40 years of peace and prosperity. He would not have to be distracted by war. And we saw that he was also king of Israel. And that meant he was a wealthy man. And so expenses were not going to limit or hinder him in any way from pursuing whatever types of pleasures he wanted to. And we saw how he sought after pleasures. And not the normal fleshly pleasures that we might think of. You know, he built big buildings. He planted massive vineyards and orchards. And he did many other things, trying to find purpose in life. But he said it was vain. And he said it was vain because it has little, if any, practical benefit. He said it was vain because its effects are only temporary. In our world today, the majority of the people in our world today is attempting to find purpose and fulfillment in life through pleasure. But you can seek after all the pleasure that you can. But at the end, you're going to find that it's unfulfilling. It may have its pleasures for a moment, but they're not lasting. Nor will they inherit you anything in the kingdom of God. And Solomon also pursued after wealth gotten by labor. And we looked at this last week, and he said that this also was vain, and I'll not go through all the reasons why, but there was a number of reasons given in the scriptures. But tonight what I want to look at is the vanity of the pursuit of planning. So here thus far we've seen Solomon seek after wisdom, pleasure, and wealth. And he concluded that all of these things are vain. They didn't bring to his heart and mind fulfillment, nor purpose. Nor will they bring us fulfillment or purpose. Instead, we understand what we need to give ourselves to, which is fearing God and keeping His commandments. That's how Solomon concludes. But here in chapter 3, and I personally found it a little bit more difficult to discover how chapter 3 fits into the overall theme of the book of Ecclesiastes. And you know, you've probably heard preachers say before, you can gain so much more out of a study of the Bible when you look at passages within their context. Within the context of the entire book. And you know, sometimes when you study different books of the Bible, it can be very difficult to see how a certain section or how a certain chapter fits in to what you know is the overall theme. And chapter 3 can be a little bit like that. And maybe it's because of the length of the poem that begins this chapter. But again, so far, all we've heard Solomon say is, I went after this and it was vain. I went after this and concluded it was vain. I went after this. And it was vain. That's not man's purpose. And so as I begin to read and to meditate on chapter number 3, I'm thinking, okay, certainly Solomon has to be keeping with the same theme and the same idea. So how is it then that this chapter fits into that? And maybe there's a better way to express it, but the conclusion that I came to was that it is vain to think you'll find fulfillment and satisfaction and purpose in life through planning. Now, let me make one qualifying statement before we proceed. The Bible does not condemn planning or preparing. Just the opposite. The Bible tells us to consider the ant in the book of Proverbs. And why are we to consider the ant? Because when you look at the ant, you find a creature that is very industrious. He has a lot of foresight. And what does he do? He goes and he stores up food for the winter months. So when the cold comes, he has something to eat. Likewise, the book of Proverbs tells us often to consider the end of the sluggard, the lazy person, who makes no preparation, who plans for nothing. In the end, he finds himself starving because he didn't plan, because he didn't prepare. Jesus, in the gospel accounts, over and over again tells us to watch. To watch what? For his coming, which involves preparing for the day when Jesus comes to call us to heaven. So the Bible doesn't condemn planning, nor does it condemn preparing for the future. But what Solomon is concluding in this chapter, I believe, is that that planning many times is in vain. And he explains to us why, and there's three reasons why he gives for planning being vain, and therefore not something we're to pattern our lives after necessarily. Notice, I'm not going to read everything, but you do, most of you probably are familiar with, you know, the different times and seasons that are given to us in the first eight verses. It's a series of contrasts. How there's a time, there's a season and there's a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, I hope I can do this justice, but I want to try to help you to come to the same conclusion I did and see how these things fit into the overall theme of the book. God has created seasons. We're most familiar with the four seasons: winter, spring, summer, fall. That's what God has ordained. And that is what is. Okay? There's a time for spring. It comes at the same time every year. The same general time frame. Maybe it's not the same day, though we always do have, you know, first day of spring and first day of winter, right? But of course, the first day of spring does not always mean it's going to be sunny and the flowers are going to pop out. But in general, we have a springtime. We have summer, we have fall, we have winter. These are seasons that God has put into place. And just like there are seasons, climactic seasons, he says there's a time to be born and a time to die. And by the way, only God knows when it's time for someone to be born and when it's time for someone to die. We can get a rough estimate when we think Tammy's going to give birth to this new baby. But even the doctor and her can't see eye to eye because the doctor says it's the 10th and she says it's the 16th. But we don't know the precise date that this baby will be born. And we can look at our parents and our grandparents and see how long they lived, and we could estimate that, well, you know, they, since they lived that long, that's about how long we're going to live. Of course, maybe they died of quote-unquote natural causes. And who's to say we're going to die of natural causes? Again, here's this series of times, this series of seasons that God hath put in place according to His parameters, according to His decrees. And it says in verse 11, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Springtime is, you know, we normally associate springtime with beauty. That's when the flowers blossom. That's when the leaves begin to grow and green. Maybe some people like the fall better because the leaves change colors. It's all according to God's timing. That's kind of the point I'm trying to make here. Also, he has set the world in their heart, the hearts of man, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Let me see if I can explain this. Here he says, and again, this is one of the reasons I believe Solomon is saying it is vain, you know, to plan, and I probably should say that better, but, you know, as an aim in life, if you think that through planning you're going to be able to, you know, predict your future and make it come about just as you want it to, you're probably wrong. Okay? You're probably wrong, because God has a plan. God knows exactly what He's doing. He knows what He's doing in the world. He knows what He's doing in America. He knows what He's doing at Shepherdsville Baptist Church. He knows what He's doing in our lives. But we don't always know. We don't always know what God is doing. In general, yes, we can make some generalities. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know that God uses everything we encounter for our good, to draw us, yes, even drive us unto Himself. We know that we can count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We know that through our trials, God will create in us endurance, patience. And so we can speak in generalities. But you know, when we try to get a little bit more specific, we'd have to conclude that we just don't know what God is doing many times. And if you think you do, then answer me this question: what is God trying to accomplish through the consistent lack of numerical growth at Shepherdsville Baptist Church? Because as the pastor here, I consistently ask myself, what is God doing? And there are some principles in the Bible that I could use to perhaps answer that question. But I couldn't be 100% sure, because I don't know exactly what God is doing. I think God wants to bless His people. I know God wants to see people saved. And we certainly don't see as many people saved at Shepherdsville Baptist Church as we would like to, or as we pray for to be saved. And so why not? I don't know. But God has a time. God has a time to every purpose. He knows what His plans are. He knows what His timing is. But we don't always know. We know Jesus is coming again, but we don't know when. We don't know under what circumstances. We don't know God's planning. We don't know His timing. And I believe that's what verse number 11 is saying. So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. We know in the beginning God created. And we know in the end we're going to be ushered into eternity, into New Jerusalem. But how everything else transpires in the middle, we just can't figure it out. We can't always know what God is doing. That's why Solomon says planning many times is vain. Also, in verse number 15, it says, that which hath seen is now. That which hath been is now. And that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Again, that maybe it's worded in a way that makes it difficult for us to understand, but if you read through that verse very carefully, you'll see that the past is referenced, the present is referenced, and so is the future. Past, present, and future. They're all referenced. And it says, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. You see, Solomon concludes that it's vain to plan because you can't always know what God has in store for the future. As I said a moment ago, we know Jesus is coming, and we can say that in a general sense, but we don't know when. By the way, we can plan for retirement. But of course, we don't know when it is that some recession might strike and rob us of all of our dreams. I mean, how many of the baby boomers thought they'd be retired right now, driving in a camper back and forth from Florida to Minnesota? Florida in the winter, and Minnesota in the summer. How many people thought they'd be doing that? And now all of a sudden, you know, in 2008, half of their savings were gone. Gas prices are so high you could barely drive to the grocery store, let alone from Florida to Minnesota. They could never have seen that. I remember 15 plus years ago, you know, sitting down for the first time with a financial planner and said, you need to start putting money in mutual funds now, and so that when you retire, you'll have all the money you need and more. But can they guarantee that? No. See, we can plan for Tammy to be induced. I didn't realize how well her pregnancy was going to go along with the message tonight, but we can plan to have her induced a week from Friday. And I like that. I told Miss Stacy, I like that. We can plan this. I can take off work. Doesn't interfere with everything. Clear the schedule. Okay, let's have the baby. I mean, this, you know, uncertainty stuff, I don't like that. I mean, I can't get a call in the middle of the day. We don't want to have to start having contractions in the middle of the night. You know, heaven forbid it be, you know, Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Then what am I going to do? Those who know me know I like to plan things. When my mom and dad were here the last time, Mom said something about Monday. So, well, no, Monday is lifting night. I mean, I lift on Monday and Thursday evenings. Of course, Thursday evenings after Bible study. Right? Tuesday, that's mowing grass. Every hour of my time is pretty much scheduled. If it weren't, I'd never get everything done. I like to plan things. But the best of plans are likely to have to change when God throws a wrench in our plan. When somebody calls and says, I need this. When the car breaks down when it's not supposed to. And so Solomon concludes that even planning is vain. You never know when a storm will come, when sickness will strike, when an economy will collapse. Folks, truth be told, we do not know what the future holds. We do not know what God is doing at different times in our life. These are uncertainties. And Solomon, I believe, also concludes that planning is vain. Look at verse number 14. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. In other words, it doesn't change. There are a lot of people who use this verse in support of the doctrine of eternal security. Now, it's by far not the best support for the doctrine, but it could be used for that. Because when God saves us, when He, you know, judiciously declares us righteous, that can't be undone. It's done once and for all, and now we in God's eyes are righteous. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before Him. In other words, God has set the timetable, He has decreed His plan, and it will come to pass just as He decreed it, just as He planned it, and we can't change it. Satan can strive all he wants to thwart the plans of God, but he will fail. Not one jot, not one tittle, Jesus said, will pass from the law till all be fulfilled. You can't control what God's doing. So Solomon concludes that even this, planning, is many times vain. God's already determined the outcome. He's determined the circumstances to bring about the outcome. And He's determined when the outcome will take place. He's in control of it. We're not. So Solomon says all the planning in the world sometimes is vain. Is vain. It's vain because you can't always know what God is doing, because you can't always know what God has in store for the future, and because you can't control what God is doing. There's a lot of uncertainties. And so again, we come to the end of the book, and what does Solomon conclude? Hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's our purpose. Yes, we many times generalize that to say glorify God. That is our purpose for existence as an individual and as a ministry, to glorify God. How can we glorify God? By fearing Him and as His people, keeping His commandments, obeying the Word of God. That's how we glorify Him. And folks, if we'll do that, we'll never be disappointed. In that, we will find fulfillment. We will find satisfaction. We will find all the rewards that we're looking for when we are taken of the Lord into His presence. As I've said before, the one thing I long for above everything else is for the Lord to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. And I will not be satisfied until I hear those words. And so I attempt not to seek after pleasure, nor just wisdom, nor wealth, but to seek after God. And I believe in the end that if I will do that, everything else will take care of itself. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Again, our highest, our chief aim in life is to glorify God by fearing Him and keeping His commandments. There's a lot more uncertainties in this life than there are certainties. A lot more uncertainties. You don't know what tomorrow holds. How can you prepare for those uncertainties? You just fear God. You just trust God. You just live for God. And you know what? He'll take care of everything. He'll take care of everything. And no matter what comes your way, God will look after and use what comes your way for your good and your glory, especially if you're serving Him with your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You again for allowing us to study this book of the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes. And Lord, I believe it asks an all-important question. That question is, what is man's purpose here on earth? And Lord, Solomon concludes that our purpose is to fear You and keep Your commandments. And God, might we give ourselves to that purpose, to fearing You and to keeping Your commandments. And Lord, we can't do that if we don't have a good knowledge of the Bible. So God, help us to understand the Bible. As we read and study it, give us insight and understanding. And may the Spirit of God apply the Bible to our lives, that we might know how each and every principle, how each and every precept applies to us individually. So Lord, even take tonight's message and use it in our hearts and lives. Lord, yes, we are to prepare as we look at the Scriptures. We are to plan for the future, not being slothful. But Lord, even the very best preparations sometimes are met with obstacles, and therefore we are having to detour and change our plans. But Lord, help us to plan when You want to, but also realizing that there are going to be things that come into our life that we cannot control. And so might we just serve you faithfully, knowing that whatever comes our way, it will be for our good and for your glory. So bless this message as it's went forth tonight. Use it for thy glory, and use it for the edification of your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed for prayer.